Welcome to the Email Design Podcast, episode number 14, where we discuss the latest things in email design and development. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
Today on the program, we're going to be talking about Outlook.com being replaced by Office 365, Code School launch a brand new HTML email course, and a bunch of crazy acquisitions by Verizon and Microsoft working on a new email app. Potentially, but we're going to kick it off with the thing that everybody's talking about because everybody loves this company.
Yeah, we're going to start off by talking about Apple, of course. Everybody loves Apple, a huge company. But everybody's been very curious about the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch finally launched. People actually have them in their hands. I believe you guys have one at the office, Kevin. Is that correct?
You've got Yeah, we have one in the office. Actually, I haven't even touched it.
Yeah. I've touched them in the stores, but I think I'm going to wait a little bit before I actually buy one. But yeah, email marketers have been very curious about what's going on with the Apple Watch and how it's going to affect their day-to-day lives, their email marketing programs. Most importantly, their email designs. What do emails actually look like on the Apple Watch? So we took the time to actually do some research. Like we said, we have one in the Boston office. So you guys were all playing around with it, feeding it emails, seeing what it looks like. The big thing is that HTML doesn't really render on the Apple Watch. It's not a huge surprise there because it's such a small screen. It doesn't really have a browser built into it. So nobody's really surprised that the rendering capabilities of the Apple Watch are very limited. So initially, when we first reported on what the Apple Watch is doing, we noticed that it's essentially just feeding it your plain text version of your email. So we got some screenshots over on the Litmus blog. Feel free to check it out. We'll put those in the show notes. You can see what emails are actually looking like. HTML doesn't really display. Your images aren't really going to show up. People were talking about using embedded images as a fallback, which won't work out that well for you either because Apple just kind of lumps them down at the bottom of the email and it looks terrible. Your links aren't going to work because, again, there's no browser on the Apple Watch. So it's essentially just plain text. You want to look at your plain text message, make sure you're sending one, kind of optimize that plain text so it looks good. Try to limit your use of kind of line dividers and little squiggle marks to rely on formatting for your plain text. But we found something else out a little bit after publishing that first initial post on the Apple Watch. And that's that we can actually use some limited HTML in the Apple Watch. There's a weird way to go about doing that. So essentially, if you're familiar with email marketing, how an email message is sent, you know that you send with two parts of the message. The first is the HTML component, and the second is the plain text component. And those have very defined content types when you're sending a message. But we discovered that Apple actually accepts a third content type, which is, I believe, text/watch-html. So you can feed it this third type of email when you're sending your messages, and you actually get access to some limited HTML support, which is essentially kind of like a rich text like formatting for the Apple Watch. So you can do some kind of interesting things. It's still going to be a text-based view of your email, but you can do things like bold text. You can italicize text. I think you can use some limited font color on that text, some alignment, quotes, lists, stuff like that. So if you want to jump through the hoops of sending a third version of your emails, you absolutely can and get some extra formatting options available to you. Yes, yeah, interesting. It's kind of quirky and weird. I don't know if anybody's really going to go through the trouble of doing something like this, but I mean, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Kevin.
Thank God they are not displaying HTML on this little device, which would have been like 150 pixels wide or something.
Yep.
I am just so happy. I mean, we couldn't really fathom them trying to do that beforehand, but seeing it in action, just we're so happy they didn't try to cram an HTML email into this thing. And ironically, the watch probably wouldn't even be able to support any type of responses. Sure it could, but you know, there's no browser on the watch, so the links don't work, like you said. So, I mean, yeah, there's just an emphasis now on plain text. I mean, it was important before because some people prefer to receive their emails in plain text, but I think this is even more important now to put an emphasis on your plain text for people who are going to be using this as sort of a notification device to read the email and, and perhaps switch over. So big thing on the plain text. I think I'm happy to sort of talk about this and then get it out of the way. I don't think a lot of people are going to be opening their email and reading it on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
It's just not a great experience from what I've seen so far with the limited plain text. And like you, even with plain text, you can't even click on the links. It doesn't even open it on your phone or your laptop or desktop. So there's limited sort of use case there. And plus, we're not really going to know the effect of how many people are actually opening their email on the Apple Watch because there's no image tracking with this. So there's going to be no way to know how many people are actually opening on this device, which I think is sort of an interesting part of it. But I'm happy there is a third part. I thought that was a really elegant way to sort of introduce some more rich capability in the Apple Watch without needing to do anything like crazy overboard. You know, like if you want to have some enhancements for this and you have the time, cool, here's a different content type that you can introduce and go ahead and add in some like rich text editing, like bolding, underlining, italicizing, really basic WYSIWYG editor type stuff. So, but I don't think it's going to be a big deal because I don't think a lot of people are going to be reading their email on it.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I think it's fun and kind of cool if you want to do that stuff, but yeah, I don't see too many people actually jumping through the hoops to actually do this, especially because a lot of ESPs are limited on what they will actually send for you. So requesting a third content type being sent with your message could be a little bit tricky depending on your setup.
Well, that's what's interesting now, too, is that actually none of the ESPs currently support this third content type. So you literally can't even send an email out right now sort of through an ESP out of the box anyways.
Yeah.
Like you need to do this customization to get it to work, which all that information is in the blog post. But that's what's really interesting is ESPs now need to develop this and incorporate it into their platforms. None of them have this out of the box right now.
Yep, that's absolutely true. If you do want to test this out, then you can head over to putsmail.com. We recently updated that to have that Apple Watch preview. So you can upload some of that slightly enhanced HTML, the watch version, and test it out there, see what it looks like. If you think it's worth the effort, then by all means, try to start sending some Apple Watch emails.
Yeah, and if you do anything cool, obviously shoot it our way. Granted, we don't think there's going to be a large use case, but who knows? Maybe somebody comes up with something really fancy and clever and cool on the Apple Watch.
We've been surprised before, so.
Absolutely.
Let's hope. So,
yes. Cool. All right. So we're going to talk about this whole Outlook fiasco when we get back after the break here. But we just want to take a second to let you know you guys can find all of the episodes of the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes. And hey, be sure to leave a review on iTunes. We have a few up there right now, but we definitely would love your feedback and input. So be sure to leave a review up there. You can also tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. Jason and I are following that along there. So, hey, if you want to make a comment, ask questions, see something you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, just let us know. And we also have a special 14-day free trial of Litmus. If you go to litmus.com/giftcard, input the coupon code podcast, and you'll get free 14 days of Litmus. It's awesome. It's an email testing and analytics service. You can run your email through 40 different email clients, see what they look like, you grab the screenshots, you can do link check, image check, see, make sure everything's not broken before you send your email, which is probably every single email designer, marketer, biggest fear in life, Jason, is going to press that send button. And
nightmare mode.
Oh, just thinking something's broken. We just try to eliminate the fear out of your lives. So that's what we try to do at Litmus. So again, go to litmus.com/giftcard and input the coupon code podcast for a free 14-day trial of Litmus. All right, I'm excited to get into this Outlook stuff, Jason.
Yeah, this is interesting. So lots of weird stuff going on with Outlook. Microsoft recently announced that Outlook.com will essentially be replaced by Office 365. So if you know anything about Microsoft and their Outlooks, you're probably familiar with the concept that they have a million different versions of Outlook out in the wild. One of those happens to be a part of Office 365, which is their subscription service. Another one of those is Outlook.com, which is their webmail offering. So Outlook.com, which has been around for a while, that replaced Hotmail back in the day, is still going to exist, but it's going to be rolled into Office 365 and powered by Office 365, if I'm getting this correctly. So as far as consumers are concerned, I believe Outlook.com is still going to go on running. You know, it's just going to be replaced on the back end by Office 365. It'll take on some of the look, some of the interface from Outlook Web App, which is Office 365's kind of web version. So there's implications to this from a back end kind of rendering perspective, what's actually going to happen at Outlook.com. I guess that's kind of the big news. I know you have a little bit stronger opinion about this and have some thoughts on this, Kevin, so feel free to share.
Well, it's just the roller coaster ride of Outlook rendering that we don't know what we're going to get on any given day. One day they're coming out with an awesome iOS and Android app through an acquisition, which has WebKit rendering for the most part. And the next day they're just going to take, you know, Office 365 and replace Outlook.com rendering. So actually, we don't really know what the implications of this are just yet from rendering. So, I mean, we can assume it's just going to be all Office 365, but honestly, with email, like, you just know, you never know what to expect. So until the implementation is actually live and you can see, we don't really quite know. But I guess from my perspective is, like, all of the Outlook.com rendering I would expect to go away if they're going to replace it with the Office 365.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's just the change that I would look for. So a lot of the Outlook.com specialized things might go away, like maybe targeting through external class or any other Outlook.com hacks we might have. Like, that might potentially go away. Not confirmed on that yet, but it's something we need to look out for. And they just started rolling out this change to several users like this past week. So it's a brand new change. I think it's just something we need to be cognizant about. And unfortunately, it's just, the roller coaster ride of Outlook rendering and not knowing what we're going to get. And it's just crazy to me how fragmented and just segmented their rendering is with all these different clients now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. It's like they can't stop. I mean, I guess they haven't made any changes to regular Outlook, but everything else is just like, what's going on?
Yeah, seriously. I think that's the thing, is it's kind of scary almost, because we don't know what the hell Microsoft's going to do next. And it's such a, like most things in their kind of environment, their ecosystem, that's very fragmented. It's getting worse and worse. They talk about kind of wrapping everything up in like Windows 10 or something being cross-platform and all running the same stuff, but we don't get that same sense with Outlooks and email and all these different platforms. So it's kind of scary. We'll see what happens. Again, we're gonna check it out once that update actually starts rolling out and we can get our hands on it. So it's kind of developing story at this point. We'll see what happens, and hopefully nothing too terrible.
I just hope the Outlook web app rendering doesn't get come to rise, you know, because that's like another factor now. It's like, if they're going to be replacing Outlook.com rendering, like, I just hope Outlook web app doesn't change. I mean, Outlook.com isn't the best, but it's not the worst. It's stable and it's consistent enough. It's reliable enough. I just am worrisome about these changes that's going to be happening now.
Yep.
With all this. So,
I think one good thing to come out of this is, that announcement was a couple of weeks ago. Then back on the 21st, they announced updates to Outlook.com. So mostly kind of workflow stuff, some visual enhancements, some new features for previewing attachments, things like that, things we don't really care about. But one thing I did like is that they now have a user form for Outlook. That's Outlook User Voice, which is outlook.uservoice.com, that we can all go there and leave feedback on the Outlook experience. So hopefully if we do that, we find any weird rendering issues or major problems, we actually have a direct line to Microsoft and the Outlook team to kind of voice those concerns and hopefully get them on board to change them. Similar to how like somebody like Yahoo kind of has been receptive to us voicing our concerns about their rendering engine updating it appropriately.
Yeah, that'd be
awesome.
I think
that's a cool thing that came out. Hopefully they'll actually check that stuff, make some improvements based on users' actual feedback, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. I mean, yeah, Yahoo fixed their media query bug just through an exact same form.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hopefully Outlook starts to have the same type of interaction and starts listening to email developers. That'd be great. Yeah. So next thing we're going to want to talk about is Code School actually launched a brand new course strictly for HTML email called Unmasking HTML Emails. The course is from the wonderful Dan Denny, who is a really awesome. He's really a front-end developer, but he does email at Code School. So all the emails at Code School, he has his hand in sort of building those out and developing them. So it's a really awesome course. I highly recommend everybody checking it out. You can learn a lot of cool stuff, even if you are somewhat familiar with email. And so, yeah, it's got everything from really the basics and learning about the different clients and markups and why you use tables for layout. But it even gets into more advanced stuff like targeting specific clients and doing sort of a mobile first layout. And I actually flew down to Florida and filmed a workshop with Dan. It was like an hour and a half workshop, and we pretty much built an email from scratch. So there's a nice workshop in the course as well. Once you sort of go through all the coding challenges and exercises, you can watch the workshop, which it was definitely like building a live email, man. There was definitely some challenges. I mean, to go an hour and a half straight to try to like get everything right with an email. But it was good. It showed, you know, what the process of building an email is actually like and sort of the different things we do, the considerations. And it was cool to sort of have his input, my input, and sort of see that collaboration. So definitely check it out over at codeschool.com, Unmasking HTML Emails with Dan Denny. It's a really cool course, and they do some really cool stuff over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see, yeah, obviously you in that workshop video. That's awesome. I've yet to actually check it out. I think I've watched a little bit of it. But Dan's such an awesome guy. He's a great developer, great kind of intelligent person that knows a lot about email, and Code School is one of those companies that's doing really cool stuff with email, and they have great email design. So being able to learn from somebody like that, that takes email seriously and knows what he's doing, and kind of reveals all the tips and tricks, is awesome. It's a great opportunity. So yeah, definitely head over there, check it out, bone up on your email, and start sending better campaigns. All right, moving on. More kind of pseudo news, I feel like this one is, by Verizon announced recently that they're acquiring AOL. So that's initially not a big thing for email marketers, but it could have big implications for AOL's email platform moving forward. So it was a huge deal, $4.4 billion for the purchase of AOL. AOL is, well, it's not the most popular email client out there. It's still significant. And it's definitely the best webmail client out there. They have great rendering, very few problems when it comes to email design rendering. But it's interesting because we get to see what a company like Verizon might do with that AOL email platform. So I'm curious to see if they actually do anything with it. Our good friend Chad White, recent Litmus hire, wrote an article over at Email Insider, kind of musing about what he expects to see from Verizon taking over AOL and their email platform. So the big thing is that Verizon has its own email offerings. They are pretty much insignificant in the grand scheme of things. But AOL, again, is number 10 in our email client market share statistics. So it's a significant platform. A lot of people still use it. So he's kind of thinking that Verizon's going to unify AOL and their own email offerings into one consistent platform, which should see a little bit of a bump in AOL's numbers if that's the case. So we could see AOL getting a little bit more popular in the coming months. Then hopefully along with that, they'll kind of take over the development of AOL's mobile email client, which again, not a ton of people use, but it's definitely a troublesome email client. Doesn't support media queries. It doesn't support alt text even, which is pretty bad. So hopefully with this, we'll see kind of AOL email get a little bit of a new life, some extra legs, and see some good positive changes from this, along with what we expect to be a little bit of a bump in their popularity.
Yeah, I mean, this is pure speculation on our part, but I really hope AOL Mail gets a bump in market share out of this somehow. I would really hate to see it just get shut down or go away,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Comcast has like their own mail thing too, which doesn't really have a lot of market share, but it'd be great if they took AOL Mail or the rendering of AOL Mail and used it to power everything, whether it's actually branded as AOL Mail or not. Yeah, it's such a shame to see that like the best webmail rendering client has such small market share, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at least it does have 1%. It's in the top 10 still, like even though it's really, really small in market share, at least it's still got 1% and it's in the top 10 out of all the market. So hopefully it does get a little bump. I mean, that's just the one thing you can hope out of this, is that hopefully Verizon can merge this into some of their email clients as well and give it a bit of a boost to market share. That's pretty much all we can hope for sort of as email designers and developers.
Yeah, definitely chalk this one up to another developing story that we'll kind of keep our eye on and see how it progresses.
And then finally, we're not going to spend much time on this, but just since we're talking about Outlook and all the crazy email endeavors they have going on here, they're building a new lightweight email app called Flow. It doesn't appear to be like a new email client like they sort of have this. This is really looking more to be a personal one-to-one communication type of email app. So it looks like it may be some sort of companion or integration to the existing like iOS and Android app,
mm-hmm.
into which it'll be more of like the way like Quick complements Skype is the way the article describes it, perhaps. So it's going to be more of like a, you know, an IM text messaging type thing that which only shows personal conversations. But interesting how they're just trying to add that functionality in there. And I guess what's just interesting about that is maybe you see how there's a move from other email clients like Inbox by Gmail, which is trying to group things and sort of sort them. And now you're seeing perhaps Microsoft is trying to put something additionally to sort of take out the personal messages so that it's kind of like personal versus marketing or transactional type of emails. They're trying to separate the two,
mm-hmm.
which I just think is interesting just to keep note of as we move forward for email design. Anyways, I didn't want to talk or spend too much time on that, Jason, but that was just a quick thought I had.
Yeah.
And thought
I honestly don't really have that much of an opinion on it because we don't have that much information. Just kind of leaked that they might be working on this thing. It'll probably launch for iPhone first, which I always find kind of interesting because it's Microsoft has their own phone line, you know. I don't know if you release it for your own platform, but
well, they do need to launch to users.
Yeah,
you
that's
can't
true.
Get feedback without users, Jason. So.
Exactly.
All right, that's enough of Microsoft. We're not going to talk about them anymore. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Email Design Podcast. Reminder, go to emaildesignpodcast.com to check out all the episodes. Subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes and tweet along with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. And don't miss out on free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/giftcard. And input the coupon code podcast. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Until next time, email geeks, keep your table cells aligned and your styles in line.